everybody. It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we are with Kate Sykes. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So I guess before we hop into anything, just tell us what you're up to. Busy with shows in the studio, anything like that?
I've been like going 150% into writing and studio stuff right now. I've been playing shows as much as I can, you know, like there's cool rounds around town and stuff. Raise Rowdy, Losers puts on some cool shows that I'm playing. But yeah, I've just been recording and writing my ass off. So that's what I've been staying doing.
Hell yeah, that's nice to hear. And also, like, before we hop into just like what else you got going on right now, just so people have a bit of a background on you and everything, if you want to just give like a bit of a, like a background or like when and how you got into music, maybe.
Yeah. Let's see. So my granddad, I'm from Louisiana. So my granddaddy was a badass banjo bluegrass player. Surprisingly, I'm the only grandkid that picked up a guitar ever, but like I've been, my granddaddy and my great uncles, they always were like playing swing and jazz, and like that's my whole childhood, you know, like they played Jazz Fest and like all about New Orleans. So I took a liking to guitar, and I think guitar was kind of what got me into it. I used to just want to play guitar, and I think I picked that up when I was like 9 or something and started taking lessons, and then just one thing led to another. You start writing songs or whatever. And then I just like didn't really put it down ever since then. So that kind of is what got me into it, I would say. And then my mom always encouraged that. You know, I lived on the West Coast a lot, Seattle and LA. And so all musical cities that just kind of inspired me even more, I'd say.
Okay. So you've been all around the place then?
Yes, I did. I have lived New Orleans to LA, LA to Seattle. And then I lived in New York for a little bit. I lived in Europe, which is a whole different crazy story. I'm like, people are like, where are you from? I'm like, at least I have like kind of an accent still. So I'm like, that didn't shake, but you know.
Wow.
All over.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, I mean, that's good though. Like when it comes down to all those different scenes, the music scenes, I mean, I'd imagine New Orleans is, I mean, it's New Orleans. You got like you said, like the jazz, all that stuff. And like LA, of course, and Seattle's like the home of grunge. So is that still prevalent there? I'm curious.
I feel like grunge kind of died everywhere until like the past 2 years, because yeah. I lived in Seattle for like 10 years, like went a little bit to high school out there. And I feel like they've always loved live music there, like even young kids, like everyone's buying concert tickets and stuff, like they love live music. But I feel like it was more of an alternative and indie scene rather than this like heavy grunge thing that you associate. Now they definitely cherish all the Alice in Chains and Nirvana stuff there still, but like I didn't see any new acts doing that. So
right,
when I was in bands there, we were playing those but covers, you know, we were just like playing Alice in Chains and Soundgarden and all that stuff, just like, you know, a shittier version in our garage.
Yeah, but like, and like being able, do you feel like that moving to these different places and experiencing these different like scenes, do you feel like that's helped shape you the way you write or the way your sound is? Or
I think I wouldn't have the sound that I do if I hadn't lived all those places, because, you know, of course, there's a country music background just from my grandma and stuff. It was always Waylon Jennings and Hank Jr. So I've always loved that. But really, like living in LA during that time when, you know, it's like everyone was at Sunset Marquee and Dave Grohl's bopping around or whatever, it's just like so rock and roll. And then it's funny, like the grunge thing. So like my dad, I still remember he had a F-150. It's like a beat up bench seat. And it was always Jane's Addiction nonstop. Like that dude would play nothing else. And I was like, that was the record that shaped me. And so it's funny because when by the time I got to Seattle, I was already like heavy in. And I was just like, oh, cool. I already love all this stuff. This is just like I'm living where it was, you know, not that Jane's Addiction's from there. But I mean, that kind of gets you into the Soundgarden and Alice in Chains, Smashing Pumpkins, like, you know, people out of Chicago and stuff. So it was like kind of already planted the seed in my head, and then it was just kind of like, oh, sick, that's where most of this stuff is from. So it just kind of sealed the deal.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because I've followed you for a while, like on the Instagram.
Yeah.
And like I see your posts. Like just I think just today you put up the flies.
Yes.
Got you where I want you.
Gosh.
Which like hyped me because I just had them on a couple weeks ago. And like just like getting to hear from them and like them talk about what shaped their sound. It reminds me a lot how you're talking now. Like it is like a mix of a bunch of stuff and like being able to make it theirs. And I'm curious. And I know you put you have like the gruntry Western thing.
Oh my god, you got it right too.
Yeah, and I'm curious to know like how you would define that. And how you would define the way your style is, because it is unique. It really is. Like Palo Santo, I know it's pretty new, but I mean, I was like, wow, okay. Like it is gruntry Western. Like I didn't know how to describe it until I heard it. If you want to describe kind of like what your sound is, go ahead.
Yeah. So I always think it's like predominantly, so, you know, Seattle influenced me a lot. And then my time in LA, like, we all lived by the beach and wore Vans and like there was a skateboarding community and everything like that. So literally I was in West LA music and listening to Weezer and all that stuff too. So I kind of like melded all these things, you know, you have Eve Six and Weezer and like even these kind of little emo-y bands like Yellow Card and stuff that was all prevalent when I was living there mixed with the grunge stuff. And then I'm just like from the deep south. So I'm like, oh, I'll just like throw in the drop of Waylon Jennings and then just like call it a day. So I'm like, it's kind of just grunge with a cowboy hat on. So, you know, but yeah, I've just kind of like, I don't know, that sound or whatever it is that I'm doing isn't even necessarily something I'm trying to do or trying to not do. It just kind of like, I think stems from everywhere that I've lived, just combining these elements of rock and all these influences that I've had and, you know, the cool stuff that grunge music did. And then the cool stuff that even, you know, my pop star idol was obviously like Avril Lavigne when I was younger. So just kind of like, it's just a little sprinkle of everything. And it just happens to be that I live in Nashville and, you know, I went like a little bit more of a country route when I first moved here, cause I had a lot of stuff that was like doing good and I was working with some cool people. And then it just slowly like kind of trickled into stuff that I had in my notebook the whole time, but there wasn't really a space for in the industry, if that makes sense. So I was like, wow, this is kind of working and people seem to be really digging it and it's being well received around town, you know, when I play it. And it's kind of even hard to describe because it's like a melting pot of so many different things, you know?
Yeah. And like, that's the, whenever like someone can't describe their sound, it's like that just shows like it's just unique. And that's what it takes, I think, nowadays, especially with, you know, I feel like a lot of genres or even like geographical places like Nashville or wherever, it could get oversaturated, which is just natural. You got all these artists there, but when they stand out and are consistently unique, like that's the key to it. And like the sound that you have reminds me a lot of what's going on in Texas right now, because it's just rock. You got like Dexter and the Moonrocks, Co Wetzel, like everybody out there is like really embracing the rock sound. And I'm curious because when you moved to Nashville and you kind of hit on it there, how was it like kind of diving into that whole thing? Because moving to Nashville to me, and I'm not even a musician, just seems like a daunting task. And I kind of, I like to hear your experience with that.
Yeah. So mine was super, it was kind of unconventional. So I was living in LA and thought that that's where I was going to like do my music stuff. And it was weird. I always was writing the same way, but LA was super pop forward when I mean, it always is, but like just whatever scene I was rolling in. So it was, I was doing more like sync stuff just as a songwriter or whatever. And rock was honestly kind of dead, you know, like. Even just the shows around town, it's like people were doing kind of indie stuff, but like rock was not really a thing. And then I was just kind of like, I got over LA for like many reasons. And then for some reason, I don't know why, Nashville never even crossed my mind. Like when I applied to go to college, like I didn't apply anywhere in Nashville. Like I don't know. I didn't even know about Belmont or anything, but I was like, oh, I wouldn't hate going kind of back to the South, but I don't want to go to Louisiana. And so that idea just popped into my mind out of nowhere. So I've been here like 4.5 years now. Okay. I feel like the music scene has changed so much since I've been here. Like, just again, I'm going to harp on this, but like there was no space for the rock stuff at all. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so I definitely leaned a lot heavier just songwriting for other people, but it was like so country all the time, which I love, but there was nothing like, you know, I had all this other stuff that I was like, I mean, this would be cool. And like, I got shot down. we don't want to write that. We don't want to write that nonstop. So it's really cool to have a space where people are getting kind of stoked, you know, like I go into writes and like, we're all having a good time. Cause it's like, let's make this sound like Third Eye Blind. And it's like, oh yeah. My gosh, that's epic. There's a space. And it's not even like this indie niche idea anymore because there's a space for it. Like rock is mm-hmm. kind of mainstream now, you know?
Yeah. And that I was about to say pretty much exactly what you said. It is crazy. I don't live in Nashville. I live in Cincinnati, but I get down there every so often. But like, I thought, like all my whole life, like, oh, country music, you know, country music city, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's right. All there is. And then I get down there and like, yeah, like you said, in the past 4 years or so, mm-hmm. like it's nuts to see like how prevalent the rock like community is. And like they have nights at these venues where it's just like a bunch of rock bands will play and they'll fucking sell out. And like, it's pretty crazy to see. And yeah, that has to be like cool for you to be able to find your people, I guess, if that makes any mm-hmm. sense.
A thousand percent is. Yeah. Just because it's like, I love and will always love country music and being a part of that world too. But it's cool because there's this whole other space where no one was really wanting to write anything like that. And kind of rightfully so at the time, because that wasn't doing anything. So it's like, mm-hmm. okay, we're all here. We want to make money or we want to do something that's going to be successful. But now it's cool that the stuff that I love and the stuff that everyone else is getting stoked about, there's totally a space. Even if we're writing and it's not for me, there's still a space for it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like hardcore yeah. is mainstream.
Yeah, I love it. I'm so glad it is.
I was like, I've been waiting for this moment.
Yeah. So like when you did move to Nashville, and for I feel like since you've moved to so many different places, I might know the answer already, but was it like a huge step, like just moving there, the process? Like, was it like, oh man, like, were you nervous about that aspect? And like, kind of, was there like an unknown factor to where you're like, I don't know what to expect? Or
no, because I'm crazy. Because I lived so many different places. Like, I literally didn't even think twice. I packed my like shitty Nissan Altima with a dent in the side. And I was like, we are going. I got my mom convinced to move out here with my brother. So I have some family here. But I was like, I am going. I'm like, and it was a crazy trip here. Like, my car literally broke down in Luckenbach, Texas. I was like, this is all for the plot. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like, but I got here, I didn't even really think twice about it because I was so done with LA. And honestly, the industry is so gnarly in LA that Nashville felt like, oh my gosh, everyone is literally so nice. You know, the songwriting community, it's like, it's a lot more welcoming than LA. Mm. In LA, it's kind of like, you know, there's like Max Martin and maybe he knows some people. And if you don't know any of those like 10 people that Max Martin knows that is doing every music in town, then there's not really a spot. Where here, there's writers rounds, like you get to meet cool people. And honestly, another thing, I feel like the veteran songwriters and guys here that have, you know, this crazy resume, they're so nice. Mm. Like, I feel like they are way more into, oh, I like what this sounds like. And I feel like taking a chance just because I think this sounds cool, rather than, you know, what I dealt with in LA, which was just, it was way more clicky.
Yeah.
So kind of wasn't spooked at all about moving here. And then it ended up being like, I mean, that's the perk of everyone kind of being an asshole in LA. So I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to be so nice here. And they were, and they are. So.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, cause like, I'm just curious, like, cause I feel like just from like stories I've heard and just like what I've seen, the guys and gals with like the major resume in Nashville, maybe when compared to everyone else, are they, I feel like they're more, I don't know if accessible is the right word. Maybe just because like they're a lot more networking. And I just see it from the outside. I feel like they're everywhere, like out and about, willing to talk and willing to work together.
It's not this closed thing, which is unheard of outside of Nashville, because these people are just as big. And it's not even that, you know. Yeah, I feel like accessible is the right word, because it's like, in what world? I remember I started following like a crazy person when I was here. I was like, man, follow. And I didn't know you weren't supposed to be like, hey, we should write sometime. Like, I learned that like the hard way. Yeah. It's like, oh, he's really cool. Like, hey, do you want to write sometime? It's like, oh, left arm red. I was like, I love left red. I get it. It's fine. Like, but it's crazy because, you know, you do stuff like that, but sometimes they do bite. And they have, and then you kind of like build a crew that you like writing with. And honestly, the more legendary the people that I've worked with, the nicer they are. It's like crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like, in my aspect, just as an example, because that's kind of like reminded me, like I did the same thing. Like when I started doing this podcast, I was like, now how the hell do I get guests? Like I got the microphone, I got the little ring lamp. Now what? And like, and then every like guys from Razor Valley, like, you just got to start hitting people up. I'm like, okay. And then I would hit up, I remember I hit up Jarrett Reddick from Bowling for Soup. He like responded like in 15 minutes. He said, yeah, dude, let's do it. Here's my email. I'm like, okay.
It takes the one and you're like, wait, you responded. I came here like with a notebook and a pen. I didn't even know what a Google Docs was. I was like, I have songs. Does anyone want to write songs with me? And you know, whatever. It's like you reject. And then someone cool finally said yes. And then they bring you in with other cool people, you know, and it's like, you know how it works.
Yeah, that's awesome. So do you do a lot of co-writing then?
I do. Yeah, I do. Like, I feel like I try and balance the two. It's kind of easy. Like sometimes I feel like the artist thing will take off and then I forget. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I haven't had time to make, you know, equal time to do the writing thing here, or vice versa. So I try and keep them evenly split, but you know,
yeah.
Now,
do you prefer?
I've been doing a lot of writes for me as the artist, which is also like kind of a crazy thing, because that didn't really happen a lot when I first moved here. So it's been fun because everyone is wanting, again, like to write that type of music, even, you know, not necessarily if it has to be for me, but I'm like, oh my gosh, this is double fun. So I'm like, I don't care. Yeah. If something cool, like way cooler wants to cut that. I'm like, so fun.
Yeah. And I'm curious too, like in your experience, or like if there's like a common thought with any artist, do you guys like prefer it doing it yourself or with other people writing? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm sure that's probably pretty subjective.
I didn't know about this whole like co-writing thing until I moved here, other than like maybe if you, I don't know, like work with the producer. Yeah, I had heard of songwriting, and it wasn't really until I even went to college that I knew that that was like a career people did. Like, I didn't know anything about that. And then I knew, like, when I was younger, oh, they would always say, like, Avril Lavigne's a songwriter. Alanis Morissette's a songwriter, too. And I was like, it always, like, was kind of in the back of my mind. But the co-writing thing, like, never even crossed my mind. And I moved here, and everyone's trying to co-write. And I'm like, what do you mean? I was like, I really bombed some writes here. I was like, because I was like, my brain does not think as fast as these people who are used to having, like, four other people chime in and just go, it's like, a whole different muscle to work, kind of. Yeah. So that freaked me out for a while at the beginning. But I think in hindsight, like now that I've done both, it is pretty cool to write with other people, because rarely are you gonna solely know the best way. Like, I mean, input is always good. So if you have people that you really vibe with, they're almost always going to see something that you might not see, just to make that song a little bit better for, you know, if you want the mass majority of people to hear and get it. Maybe the something that you're trying to say is like too niche, or, you know, it could be phrased different. So I'm kind of into it now that I've experienced co-writing with like people that I think are super badass and I value their opinion and stuff. I'm like, I'm kind of about it.
Right on.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself how do I phrase this? Like when you're, you know, messing around, like whether you're writing or you're like in the studio or something, or like that when you're recording, do you find yourself like experimenting with different sounds or like evolving at all in your music? Is that something that like crosses your mind, or does it happen just naturally and you're like, oh damn, okay, that's different? Like, is that how's that process for you?
For me, so it's funny because I talk to some writers and musicians who I feel like they're like, once I stop writing or something, I do not listen to music like in my free time or whatever. Like sometimes they shut it off because they do that, and I'm kind of the opposite. Like I have it going nonstop, and I get super like hyper fixated on a record. And it's weird because sometimes it'll be some random thing from the 70s, or sometimes it'll be some, like, you know, I don't even really listen to a bunch of 80s music, but you never know, like that one Cure song or something. And I will just kind of play it a bunch. And I feel like that comes out, even if it's just down to guitar sounds, like, oh, this is super, like, you know, reverby, and this chorus pedal's cool. And then, you know, you pull up something like some of these guys are doing down in Texas, and it's the same guitar sound. And it just kind of like, I could nerd out on that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think sonically speaking, I get really inspired by whatever record I'm listening to currently, or like handful of records. And then kind of just like messing around with guitar and stuff and cool guitar pedals and, you know, that kind of thing. You never know what three notes or something could like inspire a whole song. So that's kind of cool too. I feel like those two things kind of inevitably keep what I'm writing changing a little bit, because I don't listen to the same record forever, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of been my process lately.
Yeah. And that's a cool trait to have. I mean, like, I feel like a lot of artists, or I feel like artists in general or bands, it's like, you kind of gotta try new things, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, at least, I mean, you know, some bands, AC/DC has a formula. They've stuck with it for decades. They're fantastic.
Right.
But like, I feel like a lot of like up and coming ones, it's just like, you just can't be comfortable, I guess. Like, you gotta wanna, you know?
You have to kind of evolve. Like, you know, one of the coolest things I heard someone say about Led Zeppelin, that's one of my favorite bands, but is that Robert Plant, and I could be wrong, but this has been the word that what I've heard, you know, but he quit Led Zeppelin, or they disbanded right before Led Zeppelin kind of diluted, because he didn't ever want Led Zeppelin to be a diluted version of what Led Zeppelin was. And then he went on to do super cool stuff, like when he did the folky things with Alison Krauss. And I was like, I think that's so the way to do it, because just like a TV show ending before it gets, you know, okay, we're tired of seeing this. This all sounds the same, but less good, you know, that kind of thing. So I think Foo Fighters have done that. Like, I mean, there's so many bands that I feel like stay.
The Beatles.
Yeah, the Beatles. I mean, I'm like, of course, I'm on the spot, so I can't think of anything, but you know what I mean? I'm like, I have all these ideas, and then it's like, oh yeah, you asked me, and I'm like, what? I think the real great ones kind of, even if it's subtle, take a fresh edge or perspective into it, just to change it up. Even if it's down to, like, I've heard people say like certain drum sounds that just go out of style, like a snare that's just like, oh, no one's playing with that snare anymore. And then, you know, subconsciously it's like, maybe someone that doesn't play music doesn't realize, but you're like, why is all this music from this time sounding like this? It's because they're using these instruments or whatever. So I feel like even subtle, it's always changing.
Yeah. And a lot of bands like evolve with the current it thing, like the current it sound. Like, look at Motley Crue. They're a hair band. Then they went and made a grunge record, and then like a metal record, like a metal record. And like, you know, it didn't really work out for them, I don't think, in the long run. But I mean, you know, at least they tried it. They just tried to do something new. But
I know. Well, that's like, so it's so funny because the Scorpions, so randomly, I've never fangirled, but I was at Jerry Cantrell's house by the grace of God somehow. Like, I was like already the psycho. It doesn't take a lot. Like, I don't get super phased, but I was like, dude from Metallica's walking around. I was like, oh my God, I'm really not okay. Like, I was totally fangirling. But he put on this, like, he had some bonfire or something, and he put on this song. And I'd never heard it. It's called Animal Magnetism by Scorpions. I never heard that side of the Scorpions before. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, what? I was like, this doesn't sound like hair metal at all. This is just metal. I was like, this yeah. is cool. This is super heavy and cool. And I was like, you see, even they, I feel like not a lot of people randomly know that specific song, like maybe the record. But I was like, man, if you just like deep dive into some artists, they change it up crazy.
Yeah, like then you got like Metallica. They cut their hair and just tried to go all grunge, and it's like I love that shit. Their diehards are going to be like, "Oh, that's bullshit." It's right. like, no, I mean, why don't you like that? It's awesome. They want to try stuff.
I know, right? Didn't what's yeah. the country? Garth Brooks, didn't he have a little
Garth?
Emo face? Like, come
yeah,
on.
He went emo.
Garth went emo. I was like, we've all been emo. It's just like, did you cut your hair? You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, I remember the My Chemical Romance years. That was a fun time. Oh but but let's talk about Palo Santo, your last release. It came out September. Yeah, last month. Yeah. So I love it. I told you earlier, I love it. That really grabbed me. It was like, wow, this is like I'm a big sucker for rock, as you can probably tell already. So hearing that with, you know, you still had the country edge to it too. It blended great. And I guess to start out, well, first off, I had to Google Palo Santo.
Yes.
I had no idea what the hell it was. And can you explain a bit, like, what the story themes behind it or how it came to be?
Yes. So I am totally a hippie part-time. Like, I'm like, when I'm not, you know, my grandma was like the OG Birkenstocks, patchouli, making jewelry, Indian powwows kind of thing. So I grew up like kind of pretty like on the hippie side of things. And so she always would burn these Palo Santo sticks. And I believe in God. I don't get too intense with it, but it's supposed to ward off evil spirits, that kind of thing. And so my mom just likes the smell of it. And so we would always have sticks around our house and you burn it and then you don't leave it on fire. You kind of blow it out and then it smokes up and stuff. And it just reminds me of living in California. And so I just remember, I love weird titles. And if there's a way to eventually make them pop somehow, like I love that combo of something you think is going to be indie and not relatable and then just make it super pop. And, you know, so I remember writing that in my notebook. And then I feel like this write and song was like one of the first ones where I wrote with someone that was like, let's just like make a rock song, you know, I mean, a little bit country, but we just took a chance on it. It's my friend Michael Wilkes over at Pier. And so we met up. I think that write actually wasn't even supposed to happen. Someone canceled or something. And we got together and I was just reading through titles and I didn't even have a total storyline with it, but I was just reading through and he really like bit on that one. And I was like, well, I've been trying to write it. And then he played that cool, like bendy thing before we even picked a title. And I was like, I want that. I was like, I don't know what you're doing, but I was like, yeah, let's keep it weird and grungy like that. And then we kind of paired that with the title and I had gone through a pretty gnarly breakup. And so he just kind of, honestly, I owe most of the storyline to him. And so once he kind of like, was like, what if we write it, you know, in this way and you need that to ward off, you know, the ex's vibe, like that kind of
yeah.
thing. And so we just kind of had fun with it. And then again, Jane's Addiction was like one of my first bands. And he was like, he really fought to keep that. I don't even know that was my line. I think that might've been his line. And I was like, I will not say no. I was like, hell yeah. I'll keep talking about Gibson guitars and Jane's Addiction in there. And then we honestly wrote that song so effortless and easy. And it was so fun. And he got it and all the stuff we played, like pretty much 90% of that track was literally from the demo day. We just, when it works, it works. And yeah, so that was super fun. And I feel like that was the first one that really kind of crossed over. I had some more kind of pretty country leaning stuff and some bluesy stuff up that I pulled down just because I never played it at live shows or anything. But I feel like this one that I just put out was kind of the beginning of like a new project. And people have been loving that one, which is so fun to hear too, because that's one of the ones I had the most fun writing. And so it's kind of cool to see, you know, you're writing exactly what you want to write and people are into it, which is why we're all here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it was structured. I mean, like, the melody's insane. Like it's an earworm. It hasn't left my head all day. It's great. Gosh.
That's what we love to hear. Thank you so much.
Yeah, sure. And it was funny. Like I said, I Googled it. I'm like, all right, Palo Santo, what is that? I'm like, you know, I looked at the first result. I'm like, oh, incense. Like, I got incense right here. I'm like, this is gas station incense. I'm like, there's no way that's Palo Santo. And of course, it's, you know.
People spirits in your life, the gas station incense.
Yeah. It costs like 50 cents. Anyway.
Right.
So, But let's talk a bit about what you might have coming up. Down the pipe, like, you got any new music you got in the tank? Yeah. Or
so I've been writing a lot, so a bunch of cool demos I have sitting, and then I have the next song that I plan to release that is going to be actually produced by Taylor Kimball, which I'm super excited to work with him.
He's a dog.
Yeah, he loved the song, and so I was like, oh my gosh, I couldn't think of anyone I'd rather work with on that to do. So I'm still like tightening up loose ends with that and have to sing it still. But he sent me some previews of it and it already sounds like exactly how I wanted it to sound. So I'm super excited. The song's called Pills. Hopefully I'm trying to put it out as soon as possible. So we'll see when we finish. He works out of Texas. So there's that. But yeah, I'm super excited to work with him on that. I mean, it's already sounding awesome.
So how'd you get in touch with Taylor?
Yeah. So I have a friend here that's been, you know, always kind of in my corner. His name's Eric Hurt. He's like one of the best guys in town. And I had this idea called Pills that I wrote with a couple friends at Spirit. So Mike Fiorentino and then Nathan Barlow. And I remember this is one of those things where I told you when everyone was shooting down anything I wanted to write in the beginning when I first moved here. I had this idea for years, like this couple of lines written, and no one really wanted to write it or whatever. And then I went to write with these guys at Spirit and they were like, let's like lean in on this rock thing. Like, we like the Palo Santo. And so I just pulled that out and they loved it. And then they like crushed it, helping put the whole song together, you know, and just, it was one of those 2-hour rights that just, we finished the song, like nothing was weird about it, and it sounded badass right when we left. And so I remember holding on to it and I was like, man, how do I get this to sound like I want to put this out, like I'm so excited about it. And so I sent it randomly to my friend Eric because I'd known of Taylor's name and heard all the stuff he had done, but I was like, hey, like, I don't know if you're friendly with Taylor or anything, he might like this, maybe not, but if you want to pass it along to him or anyone else that you think might dig the song or, you know, whatever, see what happens. And then Eric randomly had said that he had just been in touch and was chatting with Taylor about different stuff, and he sent that, and Taylor thought the song was awesome and he was like, oh, I'd totally love to work on it. And so we got linked up like that and it's been awesome.
That's awesome. He's a good one to get linked up with, for sure.
Yeah, no, I'm like, everything, I was like, why everything you touch turns to sounding badass.
Yeah, he's produced like everything in Texas right now.
I know. And I was like, you can. I was like, that's so cool to pretty much know that you can send something to someone. And I'm like, probably not going to have any notes, you know? It's like, fun.
That's awesome. Well, Kate, thanks a lot for hopping on. It was a lot of fun. I'm glad we could finally do this. But before we go, if you have any shows, I know you're saying you're pretty busy with like writing and stuff. Do you have any shows coming up at all?
The only one, I am playing a little 4-song full band set at Losers on October 27th. So there's that. If anyone's around, that'll be fun. Come party.
Okay. Right on. Well, social media, website, any plugs you want to throw out there where people could find you?
Yeah, just everything is, other than Instagram, is Kate Sykes, KateSykes. And then Instagram, I had to spell it different because someone else has my name. So KateSyykes. That's where I kind of update everything the most because I'm not savvy enough to know how to do website stuff.
Yeah, me neither. It's a wonder I know how to do this.
I know. So. Honestly, it's a wonder that I logged on here too. So it's like...
Awesome. But you guys make sure to do that. Also, check out Ray's Rowdy Alternative. We're on everything. Google us, we'll show up. So Kate, thanks a lot for hopping on. This was a lot of fun. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
My boots would look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? Try to make a mess of this self-force line.